Yesterday, a very interesting meta-study was published in the Psychology and Marketing magazine by Wagner Ladeira and the team that analyzed the effects of product scarcity on buying behaviors. We've always known that scarcity is an effective marketing practice, but it was not clear which scarcity technique was actually more effective. Now, with this research published yesterday, as well as with last year's meta-study by Belinda Barton and their team, and some other research, we know a bit more. So, let's dive in. The research on the product scarcity started already in the 70s, although probably the popular knowledge was enriched to the largest extent by Robert Cialdini and his book Influence, published in 1984, with subsequent revisions over the next two decades. I experienced a 2006 revised edition. What we've learned from Robert and other researchers about the product scarcity can be summarized by the following consumer behaviors. Scarcity increases the perceived value of the product, and hence consumers are more likely to purchase this product based exactly on this incremental perceived value. Scarcity leads to the increased demand, also in the way that it creates the sense of urgency, and consumers fear missing out on the opportunity to buy this product. This, of course, leads to an opportunity for brands to ask for higher prices, which we all now experience globally, unfortunately. Interestingly, scarcity can lead to the long-term loyalty. When a product is scarce, consumers may feel a sense of exclusivity and feeling special about being the rare ones using the brand, which builds a stronger bond with the brand. The snob effect kicks in. And it also has this murkier side of it. It can lead to this impulsive buying when consumers fear a sense of urgency as the product might run out. A quick flashback on the toilet paper rush in the first weeks of COVID. This impulsive effect leads to consumers making quick decisions without fully considering the consequences. Like right now, we have racks of toilet paper stock for the next two decades in all our houses. So this is a concise gist of what we know about the consumer behaviors in the circumstance of scarcity. Now, how marketers use the scarcity technique? That typically boils down to restricting either the quantity of the product or the time of its availability for consumers. In the first group, the quantity, marketers use limited editions, restricted distribution channels, or they simply produce fewer items in their category, the brand operates the entire category, or just a selected subcategory. And we will discuss the research findings on the difference later, but my personal favorite example of this technique to restrict the subcategory of a brand is the New Balance brand, with its sneakers available basically infinitely as long as they are produced in Asia. But with its UK manufactured or US manufactured shoes that cost twice as much or more, but are available only in small quantities and are practically impossible to buy, because whenever the new model appears in their in-store, it disappears in seconds. However, because the brand is kind of available, consumers' attrition to competition is not dramatic. In the time restriction group of scarcity, brands introduce seasonal restrictions, time restrictions like available until a given date, or happy hour restrictions and similar techniques. So we understand how consumers behave being confronted with the scarcity and what marketers typically use. But the question always was, which of those techniques works the best? Now we have a chance to look into the numbers. Let's start with a demand-based scarcity and supply-based scarcity. Demand-based means more consumers than products. Supply-based scarcity means I intentionally, as a brand, restrict my production. The meta-studies, quite frankly, are not in unison here. But let me try to decode the key findings. The studies indicate that the demand-based scarcity drives the buying behaviors stronger for the utilitarian products, simple products, while the supply-driven scarcity works stronger for the experiences or luxury goods, manifesting the status or conspicuous consumption is important for consumers. So this show-off effect, if you will. Most categories we buy are utilitarian goods with a concrete rational functionality, like pasta or house appliances or even our toilet paper. And here, of course, we observe the bandwagon effect in its fullest glory. And therefore, the effect observed for the demand-based scarcity is the highest here, sometimes verging on insanity, with people crowds smashing the supermarket's gates to be first to get a new TV set. In normal circumstances, marketers for these inconspicuous brands should cultivate the perception of critical mass of their consumers, implying the demand for their products may be really, really large. And the idea of it might be, for instance, we have this beautiful bestseller, or we have 99% consumer satisfaction, or this is our number one product on the market. So this is the demand-based scarcity working best for simple utilitarian categories. Supply-based scarcity, so limiting, restricting the supply of our brand, has large effects on hedonic products, like purchasing experiences, a ski pass or a ticket to a concert. And we've all been there, right? Experiencing the trick of ticketing agencies, suggesting there are only two tickets left available for John Mayer concert. Hedonic categories also react effectively on the time restrictions, in a similar way to supply restrictions. On top of hedonic products, supply-based scarcity works even better for purchasing goods that convey the status and uniqueness, building on the power of a snob effect. I want to be seen in something no one else has. It makes me feel very special. An interesting remark here. Marketers can drive more effectively the perception of scarcity and then ask, of course, higher prices by manifesting the enduring luxury effect of this category, feeling special, feeling unique, feeling permanently unique, not only by the hedonic effect it gives them, this transitory hedonic effect, which is not permanent. With the supply restrictions, just one point we made before in our podcast before. We have to be careful with supply restriction technique for regular utilitarian categories, especially when we are trying to simplify our portfolio, and by doing that we introduce empty shelves into our stores. People may decide to go to the competition instead, like they are doing right now with Bed Bath & Beyond, which are now closing down, or with Walmart with its strategy to reduce the assortment to simplify the choice that eventually alienated their customers. But now back to the supply-based scarcity, so restricted supply. As I mentioned my New Balance example, we can restrict the whole category, or we can restrict just some smaller subcategory of our brand. The meta study from yesterday indicates that for standard categories, so limiting the variety or the range availability and not the whole brand, just like New Balance does with their US or UK models, works better in comparison to restricting the access to the entire brand. And this is intuitive, because otherwise consumers would simply switch to the competition. So quick recap. With demand-based scarcity, we manifest the critical mass of consumers using our products, and we use it for utilitarian, simpler products. With a supply-based scarcity, we use it for experiences and more luxury products, using here rather this enduring show-off and specialness effect rather than the transitory hedonic effect. So far, so intuitive. And what works better, time restriction or quantity restriction? The numbers from the yesterday study indicate that there is practically no difference, although the last year meta study suggests that the time restriction will work better on the hedonic categories rather than low-involvement utilitarian categories. So for these utilitarian categories, we probably would pick more cost-efficient of the two, time or quantity restriction, working similarly, so we can pick the one which is more cost-efficient. The meta-analysis from the last year identified an interesting effect of the scarcity correlating with the brand familiarity. The scarcity impact on the purchase behavior is bigger for brands with low in familiarity than for brands high in familiarity. Very interesting. This may be a hint for marketers what scale of effects to expect when using scarcity in their strategies, depending on how familiar their brand is. Another interesting factor to take into consideration is advertising. The study found that advertising is particularly effective at driving purchase behavior based on supply-driven scarcity and less for the demand-driven scarcity or time-based scarcity. Now, low and high involvement products. For low involvement products, the sources of scarcity bring no relevant difference in effect. But for high involvement categories, the supply-based scarcity restricting the supply and the time restriction leads to greater results, which is of course in line with what we discussed earlier on the hedonic and luxury products. This time we are just extending this category to other high involvement categories, not necessarily only luxury one, like cars for instance. To this category belong all the categories also with highly conspicuous, visible consumption that is also important for consumers to show off or to dramatize their status. So let's summarize all findings with some concrete simple example of categories to manifest how marketers can use scarcity to work best for them. Let's take a rather low involvement category of cornflakes, a hedonic category of concert tickets, lifestyle sneakers category, and a category of luxury watches. For the cornflakes category, or any other simple inconspicuous category, we want to use the demand-based scarcity, manifesting the critical mass of consumers using it, i.e. by using the message suggesting that the demand for our brand is massive. This technique will work better than restricting the supply of our products. This could move consumers away from us to competition. The lower the familiarity of our cornflakes brand, the stronger the effect of scarcity we can expect. We can use here the time restriction, but the effect cannot be expected to be similarly good, like for more hedonic or more luxury categories. For the concert tickets category, or any other hedonic experiential category, we want to use the supply-based scarcity, manifesting the limited number of items available, optimally supported with a time restriction. Just like Ticketmaster or Booking.com do that all the time. And additionally, advertising in this type of scarcity activity will bring better results than in demand-driven scarcity. For the lifestyle sneakers brand, or any other category where conspicuous consumption is characteristic or is important for consumers to show their status or uniqueness, we also want to use the supply-based scarcity, manifesting the limited number of items available. And again, the time restriction will work similarly effectively to restricting supply. But we will be better off focusing on the variety scarcity, not on the entire category scarcity. Just like with a New Balance example, show the relatively unlimited access to lower involvement subcategories, but restrict the supply of more premium variants where the conspicuous consumption matters more, just like they do with US or UK manufactured shoes. And for the luxury watches and other luxury categories, we want to use also the supply-based scarcity, delivering only the limited supply of our products, like Ferrari does. And using the advertising and the social proof, like celebrity endorsement, to boost the snob effect and the desirability to stand out. Of course, we want to use advertising, but our message should not only focus on this hedonic transitory experience when using our category, but this enduring special effect stemming from using our brand. This is not going to be an inclusive altruistic communication. For the best effect, we need here to communicate in a me-oriented manner. Scarcity is an interesting technique. We can use it to sell more profitably, generate more loyalty, avoid excessive promotions, and reduce our distribution costs. but it may fire back if we focus too much on restricting the access to our brand, especially when our brand is more utilitarian and used with lower involvement. But supported with good advertising, focusing on enduring effect of specialness when using our brand can bring easy sale and loyalty of consumers who will feel more special. And it sometimes provokes this irrational, impulsive behaviors of stocking up with toilet paper, having knocked down a dozen of other supermarket customers, stampeding to get the last bags of toilet paper from Walmart. So use with caution. And see you in the next episode.